Welcome to this Christmas edition of the Sunday, Sunday, Sunday podcast from LifeTeen, reflections on the upcoming Catholic Mass readings so that you can make the most of your Sunday. Here's your host, the Bible geek, Mark Hart.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Sunday, Sunday, Sunday podcast. I'm your host, Mark Hart. Let's jump into it. You know my favorite part of movies? At the movies, I mean, obviously laying down $80 for a hot dog and a popcorn, that's my favorite part. My second favorite part is that part when you have the summer blockbuster previews. You know, you have the movie guy voice and the thing comes on, it's like, coming this summer, Genesis, Adam and Eve. That guy is the best. And I get so excited for those summer blockbusters. I can't wait to turn over my kids' college tuition to go see it. I get so excited. And whenever I think about the prophets, specifically Isaiah and Jeremiah, the big prophets, the major ones, all I can ever think about is they're kind of like the movie preview guys. They're the ones that God gives sort of a vision, a foreshadowing. He's the one that he uses them as these arrows. Same as John the Baptist. He's a great big arrow. He's the movie phone guy saying, that's the guy, Jesus of Nazareth. I mean, he's the guy pointing to something great, which is coming. And in the prophet Isaiah, we've been hearing this for weeks and weeks over Advent, throughout Christmas season, these first readings from Isaiah. We have to always remind ourselves, these visions, these messages took place hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, centuries and centuries before Jesus was ever born. God is giving us this foreshadowing, this great, what it's called a prefigurement. He's pointing, he's letting us know what he's going to do. And really, we forget sometimes, God's the one who's doing the work, okay? God's the one who acted. He says, I, the Lord, have called you up for victory. I have grasped you by the hand. I formed you and set you as a covenant to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, to those who live in darkness. God's the one saying, this was my idea. I'm the one who's doing this. Sometimes I think we fall in the trap of thinking, oh, look at all the stuff I do for God. And the reality is, it's about everything that God has already done for us. And we're going to hear these words in Isaiah, my chosen one with whom I am pleased. And that should send the antennas up right in the back of your head. Be like, well, I know that phrase. Yes, you do, because you're going to hear it in the gospel. These are the very words that God proclaims over Jesus as he comes out of the River Jordan after he's been baptized. You are my beloved son. With you I am well pleased. This is not the first time that God has uttered these words. God uttered those words to the prophet centuries earlier. And this is one of those Sundays where you can so closely see and easily see how the first reading and the gospel are totally linked together. Why the church in her wisdom said, hey, we're going to schedule both of these on the same Sunday because one sets up the other. The first reading sets up the gospel and the gospel unpacks the first reading. It's beautiful. It's the same way. In the second reading, we're going to hear like this was God's plan. Peter is basically recapping what God's plan was for salvation in the Acts of the Apostles. He's recapping this. He's saying, look, in case you guys missed it, all right, that God is, he calls every nation to himself. He proclaimed peace through Jesus, first in Judea, then in Galilee, then John preached, and he anointed him, the Holy Spirit. So basically, Peter's giving like the Cliff's Notes, like the quick version to salvation history to these people in the Acts of the Apostles to say, look, if you connect all these dots, you're going to see that this was not a surprise. God was warning us for centuries. God was sending us these prophets. God was sending us these arrows. God was announcing the coming blockbuster in Jesus Christ. You just didn't have ears to hear it or eyes to see it. This is not on God. This is on you. And this is where we hear in the gospel that John the Baptist, he sort of had one plan. He's like, no, you can't baptize me. I can't baptize you. You have to baptize me. Like John's like that. Look, I'm all about pointing to you, but that's not the way the plan's supposed to go. And this is where Jesus shows up and says, no, listen, you've been a great instrument, but God has a plan here. And you need to baptize me. And people need to see you baptize me because they need to understand that although I am the blockbuster we've all been waiting for, that he set a plan in motion here, all right? And that everybody's going to be part of this plan because through baptism now, everybody's going to become priest, prophet, and king. Through baptism now, everyone's going to become God's sons and God's daughters. You thought that the blockbuster was stopping with me. You have no idea what God has in mind, that he's going to allow his sons, he's going to allow his creation to become his sons and daughters through a new kind of baptism. Okay, so God was not just setting us up for the cross. Yes, obviously the cross is important. God was setting us up for life in him, for eternal life in him. God was setting us up to be part of the church. God was setting us up to be sons and daughters. Like what God had started rolling out and prophesying long, long, long before Jesus ever arrived on the scene of the Jordan, what God foreshadowed and pointed to in the prophets is not just coming to fulfillment in Jesus. It's going to set off this whole new chain of events, this whole new opportunity for God's creation to become his sons and daughters. This is really exciting. This is why Jesus is saying, look, no, I need to be baptized by you. I might be his chosen one, his beloved one, but I need to be baptized by you because I need to become, okay? I need to show people what God's plan is here. This is really, really landmark. Sometimes we gloss over something like the baptism of the Lord. Oh, it's not really that big a deal. You want to know what a big deal is? God does not look at you and say, you are dust. You are rib. God does not look at you and say, you are animal. I am owner. God does not look at you and say, you are slave. I am master. God does not just look at you and say, you are creation, or you are amoeba, or you are molecules. God looks at you and says, even though you've sinned, I forgive you. Through the waters of baptism, through ongoing the sacraments of the church, I'm going to take our relationship to a whole new level. You are more than creation or animal or slave. You are my son. You are my daughter. And in you, I am well pleased. And I want to say this, especially to anybody listening to this right now, who has unreconciled sin or shame or guilt. Maybe you need to get a confession, you haven't gotten there. Or maybe you've gone to confession, you've been forgiven for sins, but you won't forgive yourself. If you have that shame or that guilt that makes it hard for you to believe that God looks at you and says, with you I am pleased, my son. With you I am pleased, my daughter. Then don't walk. Run back to confession. Start over that relationship again. Allow God to say this truth to you, that even though you fail and even though you fall, that you are more to him than you'll ever understand. You are his son and you are his daughter. And today we celebrate it.
For more Catholic content, check out lifeteen.com. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and tell your teens to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And remember to subscribe to this podcast for weekly reflections. God bless.